Good morning, everyone, and happy Friday. Welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I am your host, Kate Ariano, and I'm here to give you the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. Last Sunday, UConn Health canceled all appointments for first dose COVID-19 vaccinations between January 31st and February 8th. Their reasoning? A vaccine shortage. Sam Katz reports for the Daily Campus that appointments for second doses would still remain, and vaccinations scheduled after February 9th should not be subject to change. Shortages in vaccines have also been reported by Waterbury Hospital. In a notice, they stated, "Our supply of first doses of the COVID-19 vaccine has been exhausted." Despite these complaints from UConn Health and Waterbury Hospital, Governor Ned Lamont claims that the amount of vaccines they received was appropriate and instead suggested that the two hospital systems may have booked too many first dose appointments, according to the Hartford Courant. A part of the intersection between Hillside Road and Alumni Drive closed to traffic and pedestrians on Monday and will remain closed until early August. According to a press release from UConn Communications, the closure is due to the construction of the new Northwest Science Quad that will reside in the area that was previously home to parking lots. The release says, "The closure of Hillside Road is happening at this time to take advantage of the de-densified campus population of students, faculty, and staff during the spring semester due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Those who need vehicle access to facilities on Alumni Drive, like the Alumni House, Worth Residence Tower, Hilltop Residence Towers, Garrigus Suites, and Hilltop Apartments, can access them through Jim Calhoun Drive. The Future Science Quad is scheduled to open in the fall 2020 semester. A new app called the Unmasked Project partnered with a group of UConn students to launch one of its anonymous support forums for the school's community. Isabella Warren reports for the Daily Campus that UConn is one of 17 universities on the app, which allows students to share their thoughts and opinions safely. The program is centered around mental health and is based on the idea that everyone should be able to have some kind of emotional support system, according to their mission statement. Unmasked Project lets users indicate trigger warnings on their posts so as to warn others of difficult or sensitive content and topics. Cassandra Arkhurst is a fourth semester mathematics and statistics major and the moderator of the app for UConn. She says, "I enjoyed being able to create a safe space for UConn students to freely vent whatever it is that's on their mind." The app is available on iOS and Google Play. Dining Services is planning to open a plant-based cafe in the fall 2021 semester. Thomas Alvarez reports for the Daily Campus that Robert Landolfi, Assistant Director of Culinary Development, said he has three goals in mind for the cafe. One, to offer vegan and vegetarian dishes. Two, to support local farming. And three, to give students a say in the creation of the cafe. One way that this has already been incorporated is through a student interest survey. The idea came from a UConn student named Madeline Pickett, and according to Landolfi, she stumbled across an independent-run cooperative plant-based cafe in Massachusetts and thought it was a unique idea that might work well at UConn. He said in the future, he'd like to reach out to students for their favorite recipes, as well as allow them to taste test the possible dishes. Pickett says she sees this cafe as promoting a sustainable lifestyle rather than diet that could have beneficial impacts on the UConn community and on the earth. The UConn Huskies men's basketball team took the win against Butler with a 51-63 final score on Tuesday, and they'll be playing again tomorrow at noon against Seton Hall. The UConn women's basketball team won 94-62 against St. John's Red Storm on Wednesday, and they'll be facing off against Marquette tonight at 7. The UConn baseball team released their full 2021 schedule on Monday. According to Luke Swanson with the UConn blog, the first home game is slated for March 10th at 3 p.m. The Huskies will take on Hartford and debut their new field, Elliott Ballpark. To wrap up this week's news, I've got the weather forecast for this weekend in the Storrs and Mansfield area. Today, there is a chance of snow, possibly mixed with rain, turning into all rain after 11 a.m. The high will be near 41 and we'll have patchy fog until 4 p.m. Tonight will be cloudy with a low around 23, and tomorrow will be bright and sunny with a high near 35. Tomorrow night will be partly cloudy with a low around 20. Sunday, there will be a chance of snow, mainly between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. Otherwise, it will be partly sunny with a high near 33, and you'll round out the night with a partly cloudy evening with a low around 15. Hang tight, we will be right back with the rest of our show.
It's no secret that the HUS in WHUS comes from the University of Connecticut Huskies. The W is just because we're on the east side of the United States. It's a radio thing. You don't need to understand it. This is WHUS Stores UConn's Sound Alternative.
As we move into our discussion segment of the show, please note that from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. So today I have the pleasure of talking to the Undergraduate Student Government President, Michael Hernandez. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me.
Due to the pandemic, my interview with Michael had to be pre-recorded on Monday of this week.
Looks like we had a day off school, but not from the radio, right? Or media.
Nope. The media never stops. No snow days for us. But speaking of snow, how was your winter break?
It was quite a busy, we're going to call it winter term for USG. There was no break for us, but it was a really good chance to recharge and revisit some of the initiatives that we were working on throughout the fall semester. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a break certainly from school and it was great. But it was a very busy time for student government.
So does USG continue business as usual throughout the winter term?
It does. And this is something I learned only a few weeks ago. there's a quite a large workforce that continues operations throughout break.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That's interesting. I didn't know that. You guys are still working, still getting stuff done. So if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure you're a political science major, right?
That's right. So that's one of my majors, and I'm also doing a dual degree in economics.
Gotcha. And how has that course load been? I know you and I were just talking a little bit about how crazy school seems this semester. So, you know, how are classes going?
It's very hard to manage my course load. I do take a lot of classes each semester because of the dual degree, but also I'm in the honors program, so there's all these requisites you have to pay attention to every semester. So it's been very taxing energy-wise, and you know, we talk a lot about mental health. So for me, it's been really important to make sure I stay connected with people and find like very small ways to take breaks and, you know, recharge a little bit. But it's been challenging. And at least in my experience, it's been a lot harder to get work done. Mm-hmm. Online than it was in person. I don't know if you've heard that sentiment around.
I definitely think I feel that sentiment just myself. I didn't go to campus last semester. I'm living off campus this semester, but I don't have any classes in person. So I think it's a lot harder to get yourself to sit down, do the class, and then do the work. And one thing I've realized is I feel like I've constantly got all classes going on in my head at once. Where when you're in person, you're walking from class to class, you kind of turn one off and the other one goes on, but it never turns off.
That's very true. And you know, we've gotten rid of so many boundaries where mm-hmm. our bedroom is now our meeting space, it's our classroom space, it's our library, it's where we hang out with friends if we're doing it virtually. And that has really bad implications for your health because, you know, the chiropractic industry is just going to be this pandemic, but think about all the physical health, you know, deficits that come with that.
That is so true. What are some of the things that you've been up to as far as trying to make sure you've got a good handle on your mental health while doing school online and in person? Do you have a mix or are you all online?
I only have one in-person class this semester. It's been very helpful to have synchronous class sessions. And the way I stay whelmed, as they're calling it now, is by, you know, trying to stick to things that I used to do before the pandemic. So, you know, things in politics, you know, reading, things that, you know, relate. So my church actually does a lot of online services, and it's just very nice to stay connected that way. So just kind of keeping up with what used to be part of my life virtually. And then, of course, the best part is just going outside for a walk or something like that, although it's a little bit harder to do that.
Maybe not on these snowy days, but
yeah, we gotta recharge inside, right?
Of course. So what are some of the things that you're looking forward to this semester? I mean, I feel like even though classes are a bit more intense, we've got a better handle on this online school thing in the times of COVID.
I completely agree. The university is planning a tremendous program to keep students engaged in student activities. And that will be rolled out, I'm sure, through their communications networks. So I would, you know, recommend that students stay on the lookout for that information. And a lot of it will be free. And you know, it's just a great way. And it will be in person, most of it. So that's very exciting. Now, through USG, we're also planning very different initiatives. So we have four committees, as some people may know: student development, academic affairs, student services, and external affairs. And there's a lot going on in each of them. And probably some of the most visible ones will be lobbying at the state capitol this year to make sure that UConn's budget is protected. We know there's been a recent history of budget cuts to the university's budget. And another very visible initiative is the Justice Now initiative, which Angela Davis will be joining UConn tonight at 7. And, you know, it's just very exciting to see the list and the program of speakers coming, as well as we're pursuing academic policy as we did last semester. And we're offering different services ranging from mental health to providing spaces where people can be heard and connected.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So since we're kind of on that trail of talking about USG, when I interviewed you back in September, I believe, you were talking a lot about the fact that you wanted to bring a new, fresh face in USG, someone who hadn't been involved before, who could give what you said would be an outside perspective. And you said you wanted to fix internal problems within USG and really reinforce UConn's commitment to a safe and nonpartisan space. And in an article that I'm sure you've seen by now, released by former USG Senator Sam Zellin, regarding legislation passed by the Senate last week, it was concerned with the Capitol riots of January 6th and condemned white supremacy, called on the university to defund UCPD, and called for the conviction of former President Donald Trump. You vetoed that legislation, and there are a lot of people that disagreed with your decision. So can you tell us what went behind that?
Absolutely. So, you know, this is all also part of procedure. And so, you know, this legislation, which the substance of it I support, as does the overwhelming majority of the student government and by extension, the student body. And it was vetoed because it contains some partisan language, and by that we mean that, you know, it specifically calls out on political figures as well as processes that by definition are political, like an impeachment. And we want to make sure, and I think we're capable of having contestation, of having civil discourse, and having dissent within student government. That's actually one of the greatest services it provides to its members, learning how to do that in a safe space like USG. We also feel like by staying nonpartisan, we can make sure that our space is inclusive, because as a student government, we don't favor a particular political orientation. We're here to talk about students, and we're here to talk about issues. So yes, we condemn white supremacy and the insurrection at the Capitol, but we must do so while also staying nonpartisan. Now, that's the rationale behind the veto. Mm-hmm. And we have a procedure, and allow for debate, and I think it's going to be a healthy debate, and I'm really looking forward to it. And you know, I respect everyone's opinions, and I think the organization will be stronger because of this.
Mm-hmm. So Zelen also claimed in his article that you, as well as the chief diversity officer Damani Douglas, who also supported your veto, are, quote, in direct opposition to what their responsibilities are to advocate for the undergraduate students of the university. Can you respond to that statement?
Sure. I disagree with that characterization. I think the student body has a very diverse opinion. When it comes to political questions, and that's not what we're questioning here. We are in absolute support of condemning white supremacy and the riots at the Capitol, without question. And I know that that's where the student body is, which is really great, which is amazing, that we can stand together as a campus on issues like that, where, of course, the campus might be divided is on questions that are political, which is to be expected when we have such a diverse campus. So we are not in direct opposition to the student government. And I believe a lot of the issues brought up in that article are about procedure rather than the substance of the legislation that we vetoed.
Gotcha. So something else that he mentioned in his article, which I've heard before, is the sentiment that USG has a culture problem. And like I said, this is something that I've heard voiced by the UConn student body in the past. So you ran your campaign on the commitment to institutional change, and you've been in your position for a whole semester now. So how do you think you can commit to this institutional change and supporting the views and the wishes of the student body, like you say, during the rest of your term as president this semester?
That I really appreciate that question, because it's completely related to some of the issues that were outlined in that article, the campaign promise back in September, as well as how we got to this moment. And, within the student government, we need to make sure that we're creating, again, a nonpartisan and open space that's inclusive. And in order to do that, I've realized that this is where my outsider perspective has been really helpful, that the organization for far too long has been really driven by groupthink and by other things that are detrimental to institutional improvement. So in order to change that, we're working on free speech legislation to make sure that the student government will remain a nonpartisan organization, as well as open to ideas and to perspectives and from people of all backgrounds. So that's the next step. Here we're having a healthy debate about legislation, and now we're moving on to having legislation that calls on the student government to commit to being open and inclusive. But, you know, and this is emulated after what the University of Chicago did a few years ago, called the Chicago Statement, which was a very strong statement standing in support of free speech. And, unfortunately and historically, free speech has been used as a method to suppress the voices of many people, especially minoritized and marginalized communities. But we want to use that to really uplift the different perspective and messages. And, you know, other forms of institutional change have included creating a chief diversity officer position who oversees the hiring process to make sure that we're bringing in the best talent of all backgrounds to USG. And we've seen a lot of demographic change, and we are working on outreach initiatives that are funded by the student government. We are also working on a retention scheme to make sure that we're keeping the centers that we're bringing in. You have to protect the membership that you have. So we expect that together, all these new measures are being implemented this semester will lead to hopefully a good turnout for the elections coming up in March, as well as a new group of candidates. And we're being very intentional about the diversity that we want to bring to USJ.
Gotcha. So I want to steer toward COVID-19 a little bit, just because I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that you are president during a really, as everyone says, unprecedented time. What have been some of those big challenges that you faced, you know, being president during a time where you don't get to see most of the people that you're trying to represent?
It's very tough. And I'll put it very simply. I'm from Latin America. And as you know, we're just very touchy. And, you know, we kiss on the cheek when we greet. The Europeans do it too. And, you know, what does that do but actually tell you that you can trust someone, right? If you can shake their hand, it's a sign. It's an indirect sign that you trust someone and that there's a connection there. Or looking someone directly in the eye, or just being in community. That is so hard to emulate online. So we have very impersonal relationships and commitments. So the biggest challenge for USG has been to create connections between members. I mean that's been extremely challenging, but I'm really proud of how hard people have worked in the organization to reach out to other people. And we actually started an entire committee that's dedicated to people just getting to know each other. Nothing serious, no minutes, no agenda, just, you know, talk about whatever you want to talk about. And, you know, this is all also in conversation with what comes after COVID and how are we supposed to reconnect after a full year of just being far away and, you know, on Zoom calls.
It's definitely not the same as being in those meetings in person, even though they may last long, you know, at least you're surrounded by people. Before we do conclude here, one last thing that Zelen's article brought forth was the fact that he claimed he saw racism and sexism and anti-Semitism and many other horrible things within USG in his time from October to December. Can you talk about these claims that he's making and respond to the student body who's probably looking for answers?
Unfortunately, I can't speak directly to those experiences because, I can only talk about my own. And I appreciate that those experiences were shared. I mean, that's such a vulnerable position to be in, to even talk about what goes on. And, you know, my response to that is that while we are working towards a more equitable and inclusive student government, we still have a lot of work to do. We are proud of the work we've done, but I think this is a great opportunity to reflect on the work we've yet to do. And I think that's something not only for people in student government to reflect on, but the entire student body. And I invite everyone to engage in a conversation and in a private personal reflection about how we're treating each other and also about how we're thinking of ourselves in relation to community and in relation to each other. And I do want to highlight, you know, some of the efforts that the center might have actually been involved in. To actually address issues with ableism and racism and so many other different types of discrimination within USG. And I think that the commitment of people in USG to really get rid of these really evil things is really inspiring for me. But the work is so, you know, it's so small compared to what still needs to be done. Because we've only been at this for a few years, whereas the forces that have perpetuated a lot of this discrimination have been at work for hundreds of years. So I say to the student body, don't give up, get involved, and keep everybody accountable. Keep yourself, your friends, the university, and the student government accountable.
Well, Michael, it was great talking to you today. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your probably very busy schedule.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You too.
On Wednesday night at an emergency Senate meeting, they voted 24-12-1 to override the veto from President Hernandez. Afterward, Senator Sarah Hill issued their resignation. I'd like to thank Michael once again for chatting with me this week. Thank you to The Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us, and thank you to Ethan Smith for our theme music.
Thank you to MWIC for those background tunes.
And thank you, listeners. I've been your host, Kate Ariano, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have a wonderful weekend.